is. We stand on the truth today of your word, and by standing firm on the truth, we win with Jesus. And I pray, God, that we'd have that kind of vision today. We'd have that kind of clear-cut vision. Not just a wishing, but a hope and an anticipation that you are going to do in our lives what you always said you're going to do. And I pray, God, that we would be a people who simply walk in agreement with the truth of God's word. And I thank you for how you're going to work in this moment as we move through a few passages of scripture, leading us to triumph, Lord. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, disregard your notes today, okay? I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 24. We're going to look at three verses of scripture, and I just was thinking through that first song that we just sang again, about this triumph in Christ. And I want you to know, just as your pastor, my prayer for you always is that you triumph. That you walk in victory. My prayer is that you're not eat up by the wolves. My prayer is that you're not eat up by the wolves of pride, and anger, and unforgiveness, the wolves of lust, the wolves that come and tear you apart because somehow you've been wounded in the past. My desire for you is that you walk in victory. I hope you know that. I hope you know that I want more than anybody to see you walk in peace and life and vibrancy. The Bible says in John 10 that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And listen, he's not finished yet. He's not finished with his work. But we have a God whose name is Jesus. He came in the flesh, and he came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. To rob you of that sin, to rob the sin from you, to rob the hurt from you, and declare you righteous and holy and godly. When I look at Romans chapter 8, I see such great promise of who God says we are and what God says he does. In Romans chapter 6, the scripture speaks of God saving us. In Romans chapter 7, we see a struggle, especially in verses 14 through 25. It's a struggle between the flesh and the Spirit of God. Paul says, I'm struggling here because I want to do the things that I'm not doing the things I want to do. And the things that I'm doing, I don't want to do. And I've got this struggle. But he moves to Romans 8. We never stay in Romans 7. We move to Romans 8 because Romans 8 is the picture of victory. And look at just verse 1. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He no longer condemns you. And the lie of the enemy is this, is that you are condemned because you're nothing but a rotten, dirty sinner. But listen, he says, listen, there's no condemnation in Christ. I've done something different. I have redeemed you. I have taken you out of the pit, and I'm declaring something so much greater about you than any lie of the enemy. You are children of the King. You are children of God. And what Paul says, and the writer says, and what Jesus says, all these instructions, all inspired by God, is to give us principles that we walk by and we live by. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. Jesus set you free when you came to Jesus. When you came to him, he set you free. He took the chains off. He took the chains of bondage and sin off of your life. You are now a freeman. You are freedom. If your freedom is in Christ now, the question is, will you believe that? Will you know that? Will you love that? Will you bless God for that? That God sets you free so that you're walking in the freedom that God has for you. Here's the problem. The problem is, according to Scripture, is that we still have the old nature. There's still the flesh. God has set us free from that flesh, but it's still there. And that's why Paul will say, do not give the devil an opportunity for the flesh. Don't give the devil an opportunity. When we walk in anger, we give the devil an opportunity. When we gaze at stuff that is lustful, at things that we should not be gazing at, we give the devil an opportunity. When we look at things that just rub us the wrong way, when we think so highly of ourselves, listen, the Scripture says, do not give the devil an opportunity. And so what happens, he says in verse 5, those who are according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'm sorry, we're in Romans 8. I'm sorry. Did I say Galatians 5? I'm so sorry. That's what you get for changing it up. Sorry. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh, it's hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself toward God or to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. However, you are not of the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to God. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Verse 13, because if you're living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, then you're going to put to death the deeds of the body and you're going to live. And all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoptions as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. What he says in this passage of Scripture is that there's two kinds of people, those who will walk according to the flesh and those who walk according to the Spirit. If Christ is in you, if Christ is not in you, you can never ever walk by the Spirit of God. Never ever can you walk by the Spirit. That's why there has to be faith in the transaction that God did on the cross when he purchased you and me with his blood to save us so that he might come into our lives and birth within us new life. Matter of fact, so holy is this that we just read this last verse of Scripture that the Spirit of God is placed within us and we have this spirit of sonship by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba. Dada. One of the first words a baby speaks, one of them, often is Dada, Abba, Abba, Father. Watch a newsreel of the Middle East and see destruction happening and little babies crying. You'll hear them say, Abba, Dada. This is what Christ does. He puts the Spirit within your heart by which you cry, Abba. And yes, Father. There's a sense of innocence here. There's a sense of purity here. There's a sense of holiness, like a baby who cries, Dada. But there's also a sense of maturity, a sense of power, a sense of victory, a sense of identity that knows Abba is my Father God. And that's what he puts in your spirit. That's what he puts in your soul. Abba, Father. Now listen, if any of it, especially, I'll just talk to sons here for just a minute. Any sons in here, right? We're all guys are sons, right? Yeah, you are. Okay. I'm not trying to trick you. How often do you see little boys wanting to imitate their daddy? They want to be like dad. They want to be like dad. Years ago, an artist, a Christian artist, Tony Ellenberg, wrote a song that said, I want to be just like him because he wants to be like me. There's some people in our area that grew up with Tony, and Tony had polio, and Tony walked with a limp the rest of his life. And one day, he's cutting grass. And as he's cutting grass, he's limping, right? He's pushing the lawnmower. And then I hope it was self-propelled. Pushing. And then all of a sudden he turns and he sees the little boy in a small toy lawnmower following his daddy, limping like his daddy limps. I want to be just like him because he wants to be like me. Abba, Father. It's the Spirit of God in your life that is absolute, totally trusting Abba, Father, to do everything you need in this life, to provide everything you need. And then he becomes not only just Abba, he becomes Father, becomes Dad, he becomes Father that comes alongside you when you're older to mentor you, to love you, to bless you. And this is the illustration of who our God is. It's the Spirit of God. When he set you free from sin and the strongholds of sin, he put his Spirit within you and you have a new relationship. You're no longer the Father. You're no longer the devil is your Father like we saw last week. It is God Almighty, your Father. Do you know that, church? Do you know that? Do you believe that? He is your Father. And the Spirit that he places in you speaks that. He speaks it. And what he says is very, very important. The Spirit himself, having set you free from the spirit of slavery, no longer a slave, but you're sons of God. And sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If you know you're a son of God, if you know you're a daughter of God, if you know that you're a child of God and you're set free, I want to ask the question, are you being led by the Spirit or are you being led by the flesh, the carton? Flesh or Spirit? Now, I want you to keep your place here and I want you to go to the second verse. It's Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Because we have in this passage of Scripture, we've been talking about the war. We've been talking about the battle. You have a battle here. And he teaches us and he tells us how to walk by the Spirit. He shows us what to do. He shows us and demonstrates to us what it looks like to walk by the Spirit. Now notice verse 13, it's got the same nuances to what Paul is saying in Romans. And he's saying some of the same things to the Galatian church. He says in verse 13, you were called to freedom, brethren. You were called to be free. Let me ask you a question. Are you free? Think about that for a moment. Are you free today? Is there a freedom from the power of sin that you're increasingly walking in? Because listen, this is the promise of God, that he has set you free from the slavery to sin. And I want to ask you, church, are you free today? Are you free? Now listen, when you listen to me preach or you hear me preach, I'm not talking about being perfect. But I'm not talking about being sinful. Okay? I'm talking about a direction that's leading you to be more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what freedom is. If you're in Christ and he says you're free, and I've set you free from the chains, I want to ask you, are you expecting that? Do you believe that? Do you anticipate that you're going to be free? Are you anticipating that the next temptation, the next time the enemy comes, that you're going to walk in victory over that thing? Are you anticipating it? Are you believing that? Because that's how you get ready for temptation. You believe that the next thing that comes, I'm going to win because I'm triumphant in Christ Jesus. The next time the temptation comes, I'm not going to click. I'm not going to look at that image. I'm not going to entertain those thoughts. I'm not going to be angry at that guy. I'm not going to be angry at that person. I'm not going to have road rage. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be kind, and I'm going to be good. I am expecting victory and triumph. I mean, you know what I have found in my life? That I usually get what I expect. Not always. Sometimes, I'll say this, sometimes the greatest things I've ever gotten, I wasn't expecting it. But listen, I expect, and it's not a demand, and it's not a thing of pride, it's just a thing of faith, to believe. It's not that I'm standing on my own. It's just I know who I am, and I know who God is, and I know what he promises, and I know he's living in my life, and I know I'm his son. I know that I'm his child, and he has promised that one day I will be like the Father. And this is the victory of Christ. Knowing this and believing this, we've been set free. We've been set free. You have been set free. Will you hear that today? Will you believe that day? Will God birth within you a faith to believe that you were called to freedom? And he says this. He says it's really interesting. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Because the whole law, it's fulfilled in one word, in one statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're biting and devouring one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say this, watch, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out. Matter of fact, it's a double negative. You will never, never carry out the desire of the flesh. Now here's the war. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another. These are at war with one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. But watch this. The deeds of the flesh, they're evident. They are immorality, they're impurity and sensuality. Idolatry. You know, I think of idolatry for a minute. Every year we go to Thailand to bring our folks to Thailand for a retreat. And I'm going to tell you, there's a Buddhist temple on every stinking corner. I'm just telling you, they're everywhere. And I've been into a couple of them. And there's these huge idols. Huge idols. And people giving offering to these idols. And you and I can go in there and we can say, man, this is creepy. Because it is. It's not familiar. It's not familiar to a believer. Never should be. And I can walk out of there and think, man, I'm glad we don't have that. Deed of the flesh is idolatry, and every one of us in this place is tempted to walk in idolatry. What do I mean by that? To me, idolatry is loving something more than you love God. It's depending on something that can fulfill only what God can fulfill. And if I chase after money to fulfill what only God can fulfill, that money becomes an idol. If I chase church growth as your pastor and evangelism and all these good things, and I chase those things thinking that those things are going to fulfill what only God can fulfill, then I want to tell you that evangelism and that mission and that church growth is nothing but an idol to your pastor. And please pray for me that ministry doesn't become an idol. there are good things in our lives that God gives that become an idol. I mean, we see it all over the place. I mean, even God says it in Romans chapter 1 when folks exchange the truth of God for the lie and they worship the creature rather than the creator. God's given us all things to enjoy. And I like to have a little money in my pocket just like everybody else does. But if the money is trying to fill a hole in my heart, it's an idol. And it's a deed of the flesh. And I want to tell you this. It can be anything. It can be absolute. It can be your spouse. Some of you, some of us go through life thinking that our spouse is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. And that spouse becomes an idol. Your church can become an idol. To expect the church to fulfill what only God can fulfill will become an idol to you. And you'll never be happy. You'll never ultimately be happy in a church. You'll be the consummate church hopper because you think the church ought to fulfill what only God can fulfill. Now may our church lead you to that. May we lead you to that. And it can be anything. And he says, listen, if you walk by the Spirit, you'll never walk in idolatry. You'll always keep the priority the same. Jesus will always be the centerpiece. He'll always be first. And you'll seek him first and you'll love him most when you walk by the Spirit. The Spirit will never lead you to walk in sin. Will never lead you to walk in deception. Will never lead you to walk in greed. Will never lead you to walk fill in the blank. Never do that. But he says, listen, if you'll walk by the Spirit of God, you won't fulfill sexual sin, idolatry. Look at a couple more. Sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you read that? Sometimes I want to gloss over that one. The Bible talks about examining ourselves, making certain we're of the faith. I mean, there are a ton of passages like this in Scripture. Why is that? Because let me tell you, if I never read these verses to you, I would not be a godly pastor to you. I wouldn't. If I was to get up into church one day and say, hey, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. And you're not okay? And I've not led you to Scripture to say, hey, these are some warning passages. Hear what I'm saying? I mean, I'm believing that the Spirit of God comes into my life. He's going to finish what He said He's going to finish. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And if He's going to finish what He's going to finish and He's going to do what He's going to do, then that means that I'm going to be led by the Spirit and I'm going to quit practicing these things. What it means. Again, I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about practice because the Scripture speaks of that. And I'm going to tell you, it's laced in Scripture. It's laced in it. Matter of fact, since I'm not preaching with notes this morning, keep your place there and go to 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to take a pot shot at this and I hope it comes out, okay? 6, okay? Yeah, it is. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we can look at scriptures like this and then all of a sudden be so discouraged. But what he's doing is he's giving you the remedy to quit practicing sin, walk by the Spirit. And listen, if you can't walk, you think God would tell you to do or command you to do something that you could never do by his power? Walk by the Spirit. It's something that is you're able to do because of the Spirit of God. I can walk by the Spirit today, and I don't have to submit to these things. Look what he says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So don't be deceived about that. Now look at verse 11. Such were some of you. That is just music to the ear. Is that not music? Is that not gospel? Such were some of you. You were fornicators. You practice immorality as adulterers, as folks who walked in lust, as walked in homosexuality, pornography. Such were some of you. You know what that means? It means you're no longer that. No longer defined by that. Oh, that's music. Isn't that music? Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Such were some of you. Do you believe that today? Because sometimes we look at our lives and we think, oh, how could I ever escape from this junk? Such were some of you. But you were sanctified. That means he set you apart and made you holy and godly. You were sanctified. You were justified. It means that he declared you righteous before his eyes. He not only declared you righteous, but he did the work to become righteous. And you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. You talk about a clap offering. There's a clap offering somewhere in there. It gives you such great hope. Because if you're in the middle of fornicating today, if you're in the middle of activity, a sexual activity that is immoral, that is illicit, is unnatural, if you are walking in drunkenness and addiction to drugs or to alcohol, this is good news. Such were some of you. He's writing to the Corinth church, for goodness sakes, the Corinth church that had so much filth in it. They came from the filth. They were a harbor town. They were like New Orleans, where I'm from. I mean, it's a harbor town. And they practiced their immorality. And they invited people, and they approved of it, and invited people to do the same. And they were in bondage. But they got saved. They just didn't get their ticket punched and kept on being this. No, they got changed. This is how you win. This is how you walk in victory. You believe it. Am I saying this is all easy? Listen, no, I'm not saying it's all easy. Now, as a matter of fact, he's going to say, listen, this is what you do. Go back to Galatians, if you would. Go back to Galatians chapter 5 and notice what he says. He says, listen, all these things are the deeds of the flesh. And when you walk by the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the deeds of the flesh. And let's finish those, if you would. Galatians chapter 5 again. They're evident: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, of which things I forewarn you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But let me tell you the fruit of the Spirit. It is love. You want to take a look at who Jesus is? This is what it is. You want to take a look at the victorious life? This is what it is. The Spirit is love and joy and peace. Isn't that what the whole world's looking for? Just those first three, right? Love, happiness, peace. Listen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the joy giver. He's the lover of our souls. And when you look at this love and you just look at this joy and you look at this peace, this is who we are. Set free from the bondage of the sin to walk in love and joy and peace. To be patient. To always be kind, to be gentle and good and faithful and self-controlled. You know, it's interesting to me. I've known people who put all their stock in being like Jesus in their morality. In their morality. We're moral people. You know, I don't click on pornography. I don't run around. I've never run around. And we think that's just 1/9 of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. And I know a lot of moral people, or I've known a lot of moral people. Nobody in here right now, I don't think, that are moral, but can be mean as heck. Mean as heck. Oh, they're moral, all right. But boy, when they don't get their way, they got a temper. And they can be mean and they can say mean things and they can be harsh and they can be these things. Oh, but I'm moral. I'm moral over here. No, but are you loving? Are you gentle? Because that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's Jesus. It's not just one piece. He comes to do the whole piece in you. Because the whole piece, Jesus, is in you. He sets you free from these things. If you're walking in some of this, let me tell you, you can be free. And you can be free today. You can be free today. Now, I'm not saying you might not struggle with it, but I'm telling you can be free today. And that's what we call discipleship. That's why we call accountability. That's why we call walking together through these things. Hey, if you're in bondage to lust, we've got some guys in here who are no longer enslaved to lust that would love to come alongside you and walk with you and talk with you and visit with you so that you can move further and further down the line so that when a year is up or 2 years are up, 3 years up, you look back and you are free. Amen. Such were some of you. But you were sanctified and justified. And I want to ask you, church, if you're in some kind of bondage, what are you waiting for? Because freedom is yours. It's yours. And I wake up every day as your pastor, and I'm going to tell you, you just don't know. I know you don't know this. But I'm going to tell you, if you've been here more than 4 or 5 times, at some point in 2 weeks, you're on my mind. Now, I'm not saying I'm thinking about you a whole lot, because I got a lot of people to think about, but I think about you. You're on my mind. You're on my heart. I'm going to tell you, if I called you or texted you every time I thought of you, I wouldn't get anything done. Because this is where I want you to be here. I want us to follow Jesus. So that we are walking in this freedom that God's already declared us to be in. You walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Isn't that a great thing? Isn't that just a wonderful thing that you don't have to be in bondage to anger? You don't have to have a stroke because of your anger, a heart attack. You don't have to fear, worry, walk in anxiety and stress. You don't have to have a horrible marriage, but a great marriage. Great relationships. And all he says is, hey, walk by the Spirit. You'll never carry out the deeds of the flesh. And these deeds of the flesh are this. But hey, listen, you were set free from that. And you have been given to walk in the Spirit of God. So you'll be a loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled son and daughter of God. Don't you want that? Oh, I want it. And I want it for you. I want it for you. There's some of us in here. There's some of us watching. There's some of us listening on a radio broadcast probably a year from now that you've walked with God and you know what it's like to be free, but you're not free today, and you can be free today. God wants you free. That's why he died for you. Look what he says, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. It's in the perfect tense. They have crucified. They're crucifying. They will continue to crucify the flesh with its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. You have the power to walk by the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that when you're in the Word of God, God is illuminating you, teaching you to get rid of what you need to get rid of and embrace what you need to embrace. And it's just simple obedience. That's all it is. It's just simple obedience. It's just says, okay, God, I'll do what you ask me to do. I will do this. I will stand firm. And you know what? What happens when you get trained by that? You walk a mile and you realize in that mile, God has blessed you with that freedom. You realize that. Why? Because you've got your face fixed on him. I want to look at this last chapter, passage. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's verse 7. I'm just going to read it to you and maybe talk a little bit about it. But notice what he says in verse 6. He says this. He says, God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts. Watch this. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's shown into our lives. And he says, listen, this is a treasure. And it's a treasure in an earthen carton, an earthen vessel, like a milk carton. That's all your body is. It's a carton. That's all it is. It houses your soul, your spirit, your heart, your mind. And he says, listen, we have this treasure in this earthen vessel, this earthen carton. so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God will be of God and not from ourselves. Listen, we might be afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we're not despairing. We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. You know what happens to people? Great people. People who've loved God, who've followed God, who've walked with God, who've been used by God. They give the devil an opportunity. And it may be a day, it may be a week, it may be 2 weeks, it may be a month, it may be a year, it may be 10 years. It may be 10 years. But I'm going to tell you, if you're in Christ, you have this treasure. And I tell you what happens to some of us. We look at life and we think we're crushed. You think we're crushed. That something's happened in our lives and this, we're crushed. And you know what my Bible says here? He says, listen, we're afflicted, but you're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We want to say, oh, I'm just so dim. I'm in such despair. Don't say that. You might be able to say perplexed, but I'm not despairing. I'm not going to walk in desperation because of who God is and who He is in my life and who I am in Him and what He's promising. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. You know, I'm going to tell you how the enemy works with me sometimes with this. Things can be going along and I can start thinking negative things in the midst of all the positive things that are going on in my life and feel like I'm forgotten by God, forsaken by God. Listen, we all are susceptible to it. And the last thing I want to do is agree with what the enemy says, because what the enemy says is a lie. You are not forsaken. You are not forsaken. You want to say that? I want to say that. Say that with me. You are not forsaken. That doesn't sound too good. You are not forsaken. One more time. You are not forsaken. Now turn to your neighbor and say it that loud. What? You're not crushed. Thank you. You're not crushed. Are you crushed? No, I'm not crushed. I might be struggling right now. I might be having some affliction going on, but I'm not crushed. I'm not going to walk in that lie. I'm going to walk in the truth. I am struck down. Sometimes we get struck down. Some of us got struck down this week. But notice what he says. I'm not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. And you know what we as believers need to do? We need to quit living in that kind of language. Well, I don't want to live in that language. I don't want to speak that. I want to speak what God says. Now, I want to speak the truth. If I'm hurting, I don't want to say everything's hunky-dory. I want to tell you I'm hurting. I struggle. But I'm not despairing. I'm not crushed. I'm not destroyed. Why? Why is that? Because we're always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Amen. Okay, I'm sorry. I got to go back to Romans. Okay. And then we'll finish, I promise. Verse 26. Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This is why we're not crushed. This is why we're not destroyed. Because the Spirit of God's living in your life, not only leading you, but He's praying for you today. And some of you, some of us in here, need to get into the habit of tuning into the Spirit of God and listening to what the Spirit of God is saying so that you know He's praying for you in this temptation, in this affliction, in this trial, in the things that you're going through. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He's interceding for the saints according to the will of God. So He's not only interceding for you, He's interceding for the will of God. He's praying God's will for your life. And to start back from our first part of the series of what we're supposed to know, we're supposed to know the purpose of our God. And here it is. Here it is. He's interceding for the saints according to the will of God. And we know this will. We know that God's causing all these things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose, because whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren, many sisters, many sons. He's praying that you'll be more like Christ today. And then he says, what then shall we say? If God is for us, who's against us? He did not spare it. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of attitude? I mean, the whole world could be coming against you, but you don't see it. You don't hear it. You don't feel it. You don't understand it. You're just kind of naive in a good way. If God's for me, who can be against me? What a great thought. What a great thought. He said, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him. Verse 32, delivered him over for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Now watch. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Hey, God's the one who's justifying. He's not bringing a charge against you. Who's the one who condemns? It's Jesus Christ who died. He doesn't condemn you. He was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who's also interceding for us. And who will separate us from this love of Christ? Will tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? Sword? No. But in verse 37, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And I'm convinced that neither death, life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of Christ or love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Hey, let's stand together, okay? I'm done. I want you to bow with me just real quick. I want to ask the question. What's the one or two things that God has spoken to you about this morning? Just think about that right now. Would you do that? What's the one or two things that God spoke to you about this morning? And you might even just say, God, thank you for speaking this to me today. Second question, what is God asking you to do about it? He spoke something to you. What is he asking of you? What is that? Third is just an instruction. Go tell somebody today what you heard and what it means for you today. Maybe on your way home, some of you have come a long ways. Thanks for coming. Get in the car and say, this is the one thing God showed me, and this is one thing I'm going to do. And I pray that God would give you the power and the victory and the life to do it, because it's already in you to do what God's asked you to do. All right? All right. Look at me. Let's bless. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace, give you shalom all the days of your life, starting right now and every day that you live, every moment that the peace of God would rest upon you. Now go in peace, going in and going out. May God's peace be on you. Amen. Amen. All right.